before lunch, unless we're going fast. This is one that's been rather interesting to watch. I know some of you would want to throw something at me for saying the drought's interesting, but you do notice different things happening, and we have certainly noticed that. VRA does operate wastewater plants for several municipalities, and some of the things that our operators brought to our attention, and it came up through some actual complaints, and they called us in to help them with their investigation and relating to the people complaining. They probably knew that it was common occurrences in droughts, but I certainly didn't. It was interesting to see what a drought does to a wastewater plant and then what that can translate to out in the stream. Wastewater treatment plants, one of the first things they start to notice during times of drought is decreased inflows. Two reasons for that: people are being more water-wise, using less water, but you're also not getting infiltration into your system through rain events. But what that can do is it makes your influent highly more concentrated. So you're going to see more ammonia, higher levels of phosphate, higher levels of TDS coming in, which that then plants are designed to assimilate a certain amount in a certain concentration in those effluents. When those start to concentrate, your ability to assimilate that in your plant and treat it starts to decline. What they said is this is very apparent in very small systems serving populations 10,000 or less. It becomes a real problem for operators to be able to get their plants to function appropriately. And then also that the variability in the water temperatures coming in, especially times like right now when we're dry but we're hot, we're cold, we're hot, we're cold, can really affect their processes, their rates, and it requires a whole lot of effort on the operator's parts to keep things going well. Increased water temperatures as we move into summer really start to wreak havoc on some of their systems. Changes the rate of the bacterial reactions inside the plant, reduces the density of their settled sludge, so it makes sludge removal and management a little more difficult. Their aeration basins, they start to see increased BODs occur within the facility, changes their chlorination rates. They've got to thicken their activated sludge to make it perform appropriately inside the plant. And one of the big dangers, they said, is that because it can increase the rate of nitrification, which is the ammonia removal process, that'll alter the pH, and what essentially happens is you start to kill the bacteria doing the nitrification. So it really starts to hinder things. It's one of those things they've got to almost, they said, floods are bad, but droughts are almost worse as far as the amount of staff time watching the data coming out of the plant, tweaking the chemicals to make it go through. Also, they get some structural concerns. Contracting soils can damage their pipes. You get a lot of accumulation of sediment and debris that would normally be pushed through with the flow into the plant. You can filter it out, remove it. Settles down in the pipes, which can then cause problems when we move back to regular flow times because you'll get a slug into your facility. But what we noticed and what we kind of got called in on to help with was an aesthetics issue. When you have highly concentrated influence that you're trying to deal with, low flows through the facility, most wastewater units are open to the sun. It's a perfect condition to grow algae. Now, this is not from one of our plants. This is exaggerated. I found this is a wastewater plant that's actually doing algae harvesting for biofuels. But just to get the idea, you can get algae grown in clarifiers and other parts of your treatment unit, which in and of itself isn't an end-of-the-world issue. But what it can do when you start to get cool-offs, and this is when we had our issue, was in the November time frame. We got that first cold snap. That algae died, turned brown, started to flake off the wall of the clarifier, and looked like something other than algae to the average person. And they thought it was. And they were convinced that bad things were coming out of the facility. Happened to be on a tour, people went through, saw it, and thought, oh my God, that's at the end of the treatment process. You're discharging untreated fecal material into the creek. It took about 2 months of effort on our field team's part and our operators to convince them that everything was adequate with this treatment process. They were all within their permit limitations, and what they saw was not fecal material, but algae. And then also one of the other things, when you have these increased concentrations, even if you're within your permit limit, one of the big impacts downstream is solid. You can start to get a little bit of solid accumulation. If you don't have any flow in that creek and that water just goes down and settles, anything that's making it through the plant, even if it's at really low loading levels, you will start to see, especially in bedrock creeks or rocky bottom streams, you start to see that accumulation. And without periodic rain events to flush it out and move things around, you will sometimes start to see a little accumulation of sediment. But it can definitely lead to misinterpretation. I tried to take a picture of the floaties, but you can't see it just real well. Drought raises treatment costs because you need more chemicals. May need to do extra things you wouldn't normally have to do to keep the plant functional. More direct oversight, so it's taking more time. Can lead to unattainable discharge standards if your influence coming in is so concentrated it exceeds your ability to treat it, which means your loadings can probably reach their permit limits long before the actual flow out of the plant reaches its limit. And that can all, of course, lead to increased regulatory oversight and impact in future permits, which is one thing they're worried about right now. The Brazos, most of the facilities in the Brazos are going through repermitting, and the last couple years of data have been drought years. So it's not necessarily reflective of normal conditions, and some of the smaller plants I know are nervous what that's going to mean for their permit going forward. And then of course that can translate somewhat out into streams. Of course, drought, this is a worst case scenario picture from the Upper Basin last year. This is at Seymour, in the Brazos itself. I've never seen this. I've worked for BRA for 15 years. I've seen it low. Never seen that before.
Are those tire tracks in there?
Mm-hmm. It's highly possible, yeah. Yeah, they're not supposed to drive in the river, but they don't listen up there. Pooling or low flow is also a risk. This is, I believe that's in the North Bosque. I think it's Hog Creek, maybe. I can't remember what picture I picked. But you can, when you start to have pooling, these small shallow pools, you get potential for low dissolved oxygen, get stagnant water, which at times, depending on where you are, can encourage the growth of pathogens, or at least certainly concentrates pathogens in those pools. Get algal growth, which can further exacerbate dissolved oxygen issues, which can lead to fish kills. Over time with the algae growth, some of those ponds just become flat out stinky. And you can get an accumulation of sediment or debris also. It then becomes an issue when it rains again. And also here you can see right in the middle of the creek, pretty good sized tree. Let's take a look there. Low flows can also have very similar issues. And this is kind of one of the areas where we started to have our problems. We're discharging into a low flow stream. Lady saw algae, she thought she saw poo moving through the plant, thought that was feeding the algae. And became an issue of, well, you're not doing your job. And it wasn't the case, but that is certainly what can happen here. Is this is over in the Leon. If you notice, it's actually piled up to the point, starting to knock a bridge piling out. Next big rain event, that bridge may go when it gets that push behind all that debris that's accumulated. Same problems as with pool conditions. Terrestrial vegetation, this is up on the salt fork of the Brazos, starting to get some salt cedar growing in the channel on some sandbars. Back in, and of course, once we start to get rain again, create snags in the river, can cause taste and odor issues for anyone using, which no one uses a salt fork for drinking water, but in other places when that vegetation gets submerged, dies, can release chemicals that will cause taste and odor issues and issues for water, drinking water treatment facilities down the road. And of course, and I laugh at the one with our wastewater plant, but we usually get every time we're in drought at least one or two calls. Somebody sees something that looks like that or this and thinks, oh my goodness, someone's dumped a septic tank or released wastewater into the system somehow. Those are different varieties of algal mats. And especially once you get some cool temperatures, temperatures, they start to die, they turn brown. They really do start to look like other things if you're not trained to know what it is. But it can take quite a bit of effort to convince someone that it's algae when they're convinced it's other things and bad stuff are happening. So drought can have a pretty devastating effect, not just on quality and the traditional things you think, water use, but also just the general aesthetics and the appearance and the wastewater treatment process. Any questions?